nay much more than those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow the more abundant honor, and our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. I've been reading from the King James Version in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 22 through 24. I hope you'll excuse me. I've got a little confused there and lost my place.
Good to be here. Tonight, I am not going to keep you very long. I'm going to address, really, a particular segment of our local church and in the body of Christ. I want to talk a little bit about those of you who are single. We preach sermon after sermon with regard to those who are married, and sermons on marriage in general. In fact, we just finished a short series on some tips for those who are married. And those are very important. I've said many times that a local church is only as strong as the families that make it up. And in our local churches, we need good, strong families with husband and wives who are faithful to each other and faithful to the Lord. And so certainly that is true, and we need sermons on that. But at the same time, we need to understand that those who are not married are just as valuable and as important to the local church as anyone else. And I don't want those who are single to ever think of themselves as second-class citizens here at Brown Street or in the body of Christ. In this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, turn over there if you would, and you notice that in that context, Paul is dealing with the very issue that everyone in the body of Christ is significant. You've heard me say in various sermons, really based upon this particular passage, that everybody in Christ's body is somebody. And that is very much true. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're a member of the body of Christ, you are significant. You are somebody. You're of value. And that's what Paul is dealing with here again in 1 Corinthians 12 and at verse 22. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And I want you to notice that. He doesn't say the members that are weaker. He says that seem to be weaker. It is really only in the minds of men sometimes that certain members might be of less value than others, but that's not the case at all. Paul says that they're indispensable. And you can make application of that to many different things, but I would suggest that we should make the application to those who are single. Like, there are sometimes individuals in the body of Christ who might think in their own mind that those who are single are of less value, but they'd be wrong about that. Really, they are indispensable, just like everyone else in the body of Christ. And so Paul is dealing with that, and he says, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable. Not that they're less honorable, because no one in the body of Christ is less honorable than anybody else in the body of Christ. But sometimes we think that they are less honorable. But he says, we bestow the greater honor, and on our unrepresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. And the fact of the matter is, everybody is somebody in Christ's body. And in fact, those of you who are single, you need to understand the great value that you have in a local church and in the cause of Christ as a whole. In fact, in some ways, you can certainly do more things than those who are married. Paul makes that argument over in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Turn your Bibles over there just for a moment and notice what Paul says about the unmarried in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And as we flip over there, I understand the context there, that the statements of Paul in 1 Corinthians 7, as he talks about those who are unmarried and those who are married, that he's dealing with a time that he refers to as the present distress. So there's something going on in the society at that particular time that he doesn't really divulge to us. We don't know. We don't have all the information on that. But there was some kind of present distress, something that was threatening the body of Christ at that particular time, probably some kind of persecution. And to understand that what we're about to read, really, you have to keep that in mind, that that's the context. But the principle, really, is applicable to all ages and in every situation, really. And so this is what Paul says at verse 32 of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 at verse 32. I want you to be free from anxiety. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please him. And now let me just pause and say to those of you who are single, that what Paul says right here, he is just speaking in general, and it's up to you to make sure that you fit the description that Paul is setting forth. In other words, it's not really the case that every single person in the body of Christ, that they're really striving first and foremost to please God. That's the way it should be. That's not true about every single individual who is single or every individual who is married. But for those of you who are single, you should make that your goal. You should do everything you can to fall into this description that Paul sets forth. But he's just saying now, in general, don't be anxious. It says that with regard to the unmarried, he says that they are striving to please the Lord. But he says the married man is anxious about what? About worldly things. How to please his wife. Now, in the context, he's not saying those of us who married are just a bunch of worldly-minded individuals. He's just talking in this context. I have a responsibility to my wife, and she has a responsibility to me. And we have to spend time and energy and effort with regard to that, to meet each other's needs and all those things that we talk about when we talk about marriage. Very important. But the one who is not married doesn't have to worry about that. The one who's not married can put more focus, more time, and more energy in simply pleasing the Lord. And yes, he's talking about a time when there's a present distress, but wouldn't that be applicable just in life in general? I would submit to you that it would be. He goes on to talk about the woman. He says at verse 33, but verse 34, his interests are divided. But then he says, and the unmarried or the betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. So he makes the same point with regard to the wives. And again, that's very much true. Those of you who are single, if you have the right attitude, the right mindset, you can spend your time. The most important thing in your life is pleasing God and being holy and being spiritual. And now, you think about this in the context of this present distress, whatever it is. I'll just give an example because I can't be sure what the present distress is. But we understand in a time of persecution how this might work. Like if someone came and they bust into my home at a time when Christians are being persecuted for being Christians, and they say, listen, you forsake Christ or I'm going to kill you. Well, that's one thing. I could just easily say, well, you just go ahead and kill me because I'm not forsaking Christ. But what if they bust into my house and say, now, either you forsake Christ or we're going to torture your wife? Wouldn't that be a little more difficult? Wouldn't it be much easier in those circumstances, in that situation, not to be married and not have to worry about that. And so that's really the application, whatever that present distress is. But again, we can sort of transfer that principle just to life in general. As I said earlier, the married person, the married husband, the married wife, we have to spend time and energy meeting our responsibilities and being committed to our spouse. If you're single, all your energy can go to simply pleasing the Lord and being holy and being spiritual. And so from that standpoint, when you stop and think about it, when you have a single member in the church who does have that level of commitment and whose desire really is to please the Lord, you can give all of that focus and you become a very, very valuable, indispensable, as Paul says, member of the body of Christ. And I'll tell you something else. As I think about those of you who are single, I appreciate your commitment, those of you who are committed to the Lord, I appreciate your faith and the effort that you put forth, because when you stop and think about it, those of us who are married, things get tough. And the devil threatens us. He does that to all of us. And he tempts us and he tries to weaken us and get us to stumble. One thing we have when we're married is each other. I can lean on Janice. She helps me to be a better Christian. I hope I help her to be a better Christian. Those of you who are single and faithful, I understand that you do that from a family standpoint, at least, all by yourself. You can't turn to your spouse for support. You can't turn to your spouse for strength in times of need. When you overcome, that's because of the level of your faith. We should appreciate that in those of our members who are single. That takes a great deal of commitment, and certainly we appreciate that. And for those of you who are single, you can turn to the Bible, and you can look at examples and know that you can overcome and be everything that God wants you to be without being married. I understand that marriage is God's will, but again, that's just in general. It is not God's will that every single person be married. Sometimes we misunderstand. If that were the case, then he would just command marriage. And that's not the case. And so God is pleased and happy with those who are unmarried in the body of Christ, as long as they're committed to pleasing the Lord, committed to being holy and doing what's right. And for those of you who are single, you can turn to the Bible. And there are plenty of examples of individuals who weren't married, and they did just fine pleasing God. In fact, sometimes went beyond their duty. We're studying right now Joseph in our Wednesday night class. Think about what a great man he was. Think about the level of faith that he had. Now, I understand that Joseph ultimately got married, but that came much later in his time in Egypt. Most of the things that we read about Joseph, when he was unwavering in his faith, even during trials and tribulations, even after he was so mistreated by his brethren and thrown into a pit, even when he was mistreated in Egypt and ended up in prison, he wasn't married during all of that. And he demonstrated an unwavering faith. Those of you who are single, you could do the same thing. You could have unwavering faith. Just like Joseph. You don't have to be married to have that. And one of the things that Joseph did, and we'll get more into this in our study on Wednesday night, but he constantly let everyone around him know that he was a servant of God. He was in no way ashamed of God, even though he was in a land that worshiped foreign gods. He let everybody know he served the true God. And if they really wanted benefits in life, they needed to recognize that true and living God. And those of you who are single, you can have that same disposition in this sinful world in which we live. We don't live in a society where there's a bunch of people serving idols so far as statues are concerned and false gods from that standpoint. But there's a whole lot of idols and false gods in the form of money and other things in our society. And we understand that the standard of living is completely different in the world than it is in Christ. And it takes courage and it takes boldness to make a stand and set forth the true and living God to this sinful world. Those of you who are single, you can do that. You can be like Joseph. You can be like Daniel. What a great man Daniel was. And Daniel's kind of like other Bible characters that we can't be 100% sure of what his family situation was. I can't stand before you and say for 100% certainty that he was never married, but it doesn't seem like he was. And we certainly don't have any record of his family life from that standpoint, except for it appears clear that he was from royalty. We don't know anything about any wife that he ever had or children or anything like that. And many, many scholars believe that he was a eunuch when he was in Babylon. But one thing that he had, even as a young man who was single, he had an unwavering commitment to God. And he can encourage those of you who are single. In fact, if you really want to be what God wants you to be, you need to have the mentality that Daniel had. Turn over to Daniel chapter 1, and you'll remember the passage of Scripture that really talks about Daniel and why it was that he stood apart from most of the individuals, most of the Jews that were taken over to Babylon. And again, he was of royal descent. Look at Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1 and at verse 8. There's something in the water, Richard. I can't find the passage. What's going on here? All right, Daniel chapter 1 and at verse 8. You'll be familiar with this, I'm sure. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And let me tell you, if you're single in this society in which we live, you certainly need this kind of attitude. In this world of sin where Satan seems to be in charge in so many different ways and he's constantly trying to tempt individuals and get them to sin sometimes from an immoral standpoint, you need to make up in your mind as a single person that you are not going to defile God. You need to purpose that in your heart. And you can do that. Just like Daniel did. He was just a teenager at this point. But he had his mind made up that he was going to serve God and do what was right. And there's other example of single people in the Bible who did great things. And I think about Lydia. Again, I'm not 100% sure about her family situation. But it doesn't appear like she was married. She had a household, but that doesn't necessarily mean that household consisted of a husband and children. Some people try to use Lydia as an example of infant baptism because she believed in the Lord and she was baptized along with her household. But that could have easily been servants that she had. One thing we know about Lydia was that she was a wealthy woman, a businesswoman. She was from Thyatira. And we know from Acts chapter 16 that she heard Paul and she obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And from everything that we know, she was an outstanding Christian. Again, a businesswoman who was in favor with the people of God. She had a house big enough to where she could have people in and entertain them. There's some suggestion as you read the few passages on her life that perhaps there was a church meeting in her house. When the apostles went to encourage brethren, they went to her house. And so here's a woman, she was a businesswoman, but she wasn't materialistic and she wasn't overwhelmed by her wealth or anything like that. She was a faithful Christian, the first convert in Europe, as a matter of fact. But there's a great example if you're single. You can be a businesswoman, businessman. You can have a life and one that might take some of your time and be very important to you. And at the same time, be like Lydia, committed 100% to the Lord. And we could talk about Paul. We know Paul was single. Again, we don't know that he was never married. He may have been at one time, but he certainly, during the course of his personal ministry, was not married. And I don't even have to talk to you about what a great member in the body of Christ he was. What a value he was to the kingdom of God. He was evangelistic. He was bold in his proclamation of the word of God. He was one who was unwavering and never compromised the truth. He won many souls to Christ. That is, God through him won many souls to Christ. But he was of great value and encouragement to many churches. And he didn't have to have a wife to do that. He was single. And yet he was an outstanding member in the body of Christ. And you could go through the Bible and you could look at many examples of individuals like that. If you're single, you may want to get married, and if that's your goal and that's your plan, I truly hope that works out for you. Hope you find a good husband who's a child of God, a good wife who is a Christian. But if you never get married, one thing you can always do is you can make it your business to put God first and to serve God and to please him and to be holy and to be spiritual, and you don't need a spouse to do that. And you're just as valuable, indispensable in the body of Christ as anybody else. And every single member of this congregation should know that. And if those of us who are married think otherwise, then shame on us. We should never make those who are single in the congregation feel like they're not as valuable as anyone else. Because they are. Everybody is somebody in Christ's body. And we need each and every member that we have. Let's encourage those who are single. Remember, they don't have a spouse to lean on in times of need and when they need strength. They have to rely, of course, on the Word of God, and they can rely on other Christians. But so far as home life is concerned, they rely on their faith and their commitment to the Lord. And we should all appreciate that. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. We haven't said much about that. But if you want to become a child of God, whether you're married, single, whatever the situation is, you need Jesus Christ in your life. Thank God the plan of salvation is easy and simple. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What could be easier than that? It is mind-boggling that so many people will fight against simply doing what God says to do. Just believe in Jesus and be baptized. And in this particular time, in this country, we have everything so convenient. We have a baptistry right behind me. The water's even warm. None of that should matter, but it is a convenience. And you can be baptized and you can become a member of the body of Christ in just a matter of minutes. But you have to make up in your mind to do so. You have to realize that Jesus is that Christ. That he's the Son of the living God, and he's the only hope that you have of salvation. Why not take advantage of him? Why not obey the gospel? Why not do it right now as we together stand and sing?